Take your Bibles, please. Let's go to Matthew. Let me get my notes open here. Chapter 13, and then Mark chapter 6. We'll read two accounts of the same story. Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 6. Oh, I want you to give me a good hearing tonight. I'll help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If you'll let me, I'll help us. I want to help you, every single one of us. I think this message will teach you something or remind you of something, help you about something that I think is going to help us to see more miracles here at the church. Do you know that we can limit the miracles and the working of God through unbelief? You say, preacher, I'm not sure I believe that we could limit God. All right, we'll read the story and then we'll see what happened, okay? But if we're not careful through unbelief, we can limit the power of God and the working of God and to the full extent of what God wants to do in a situation. And so Matthew chapter number 13, if you'll stand with me, he spends the entire chapter teaching parables. And then at the end of the chapter, we'll go to verse 53, Matthew 13, 53. Jesus returns to Nazareth, and this is his hometown. It's where he was raised. It came to pass that when Jesus, verse 53, Matthew 13, it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us?" By the way, that kind of shoots the Catholic theology and Catholic belief about the Mary being a perpetual virgin. She had children. She had other children besides Jesus. And she's not the mother of God. She's the one that carried Jesus, but she's not the mother of God. Got to be very careful. And verse 56, "And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And then we'll go over to Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6, if you want to save your place there in Matthew, we might jump between the two a little bit. Mark chapter number 6, we'll begin now, at the beginning of this chapter, verse number 1, read the first 6 verses, then we'll pray. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. "And he went out from thence, came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, in his own house. And he could not there do, no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." And he marveled. He marveled. Isn't that something? Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Heavenly Father, help Blessed Old Baptist Church. Lord, I think this church is a wonderful place and a blessed place. And Lord, we get to see so many wonderful things and the evidences of the hand of God. And Lord, but we want to be better for you. We don't want to be better so that people would say much about us. We want to be better so that we can, Lord, properly represent you and be able to lift you up in a more powerful and mighty way. Lord, we want this church to be a place of miracles where there's nothing that hinders the mighty working of God. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would recognize some things, and even in our own lives, Lord, make us tender enough and humble enough that if there's failings or shortcomings, a change of attitude, a change of philosophy, a change of thought process, Lord, that we'd be willing to allow the Word of God to mold our thinking so that we would think more scripturally, see things more from God's perspective. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Mike and Nancy, it's good to have you folks come in. It's always a treat to get to see you. And me and Brother Mike, we need more time to hang out. How long are you going to be here? Tuesday morning. You want to go on a missions trip to Arizona? You'd love to. Had to clear it with your boss, and yeah, it could present some problems. We'd have a good time. And then it's good to see Pastor Jim Townsley and his dear wife, and we're praying for you, Mrs. Townsley, in the loss of your father. And, of course, many of you know Ferris Pope, and we need to pray for this family, and it's tough. You know, Brother Jim, I thought this thing about your dad being gone would be easier. I'm dreading this Father's Day worse than I did the last two. I'm having a harder time now than I did initially. And I don't know, I'm going to talk to somebody smarter than me, but this thing of grief is a strange thing. And I don't know if I've got an answer or an understanding, but I don't know. Maybe it's good that you're missing me, man. And so that's good. And then Matt and Heather, what a wonderful thing to see you folks here. We just don't have enough time. Do you guys want to go on a missions trip? You doing anything? Brother Jim, you doing anything? You want to go on a missions trip? You don't have anything on your schedule, do you? Oh, never mind. All right. We're going to have a good time. Looking forward to it. Be back in. Spend 3 days going crazy trying to get everything done. Thursday morning take off. I'm excited about this. Say, have you got everything planned that's going to happen? Yep. Do you think that plan is going to work out? Probably not. But at some point, you just get on the road, put it in God's hands, and here we go. But anyway, it's good to see folks. We don't get to see that often. I wanted to greet you. And Mandy, it's good to see you. This young lady is actually from Jeff Brady's church, but please don't hold that against her. All right? And Brother Jeff is a good friend and one of my best friends. Well, they say it. They say that I'm going to be real cool right now. He's my brother from another mother. Yeah, don't let it be said Jerry Ross isn't hip. He's, like, I'm getting more hip all the time, so. But I'm in trouble. Well, I want your hearts. How about this for a title? Don't miss the greatness right in front of you. Don't miss the greatness right in front of you. Sad. This may be one of the most saddest stories in all of the Gospels. Jesus comes back to his hometown. Now think about that. He's launched out into ministry. John's announced him as the Lamb of God. The Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove and anointed him. He's launched out in the ministry. He's seen remarkable things, amazing things. Already, his reputation is building. People are seeking him out, multitudes. He can't get away from the multitudes. And finally comes the time for him to come to his hometown. And you think he didn't anticipate some excitement there. I mean, I'm going to get to preach in the synagogue I grew up in. I get to see the folks that I grew up knowing. There's sick people in my hometown. And you know what? It wasn't God's timing yet that I exercised all of the powers of the ministry. And now I can go back and some of those folks that I watched, they were crippled and blind and I've seen begging in the street. I can go fix all those things. And I think He, and I know Jesus knew all things, but I think from a human standpoint, there's probably an element of excitement and anticipation, and man, this is going to be it. And then Jesus shows up. And the Bible does say he marveled, so I'm not going to get in an argument with you, a theological argument about what Jesus did know and didn't know. I know he was all God and all man. I know that he set aside some things. Never set aside his divinity. Never set aside who he was. But he chose during his time here on earth not to access some things. The Bible says he increased in wisdom as a young man. Okay, for those of you that want to argue this, you can ponder that a little bit. How did he increase in wisdom if he was all wisdom? And so he agreed to take on some of the limitations of humanity. The Bible says he was touched with the feelings of our infirmity. So don't tell me he didn't feel things like I'm talking about. He felt some stuff. Jesus felt disappointment. He marveled here. He was disturbed by this. And so there he is. Now, watch this. He gets to his hometown, and he expects to be able to preach in the same power he preached in the other synagogues. He expected to be received and expected to be able to perform the vast multitude of miracles that he's experienced in other places. I think he expected, if anything, to see something more than was normal here in his hometown. And then the great disappointment. As people begin to question his right to speak in the synagogue and begin to say, who is he anyway? Who does he think he is? We know who this guy is. I mean, where did he get this wisdom? Why is he being used to do such mighty works? Is this not the carpenter? Hey, we know his mom, we know his dad, we know his brothers. Hey, I know that family. Who's he? Who's he? And Jesus said this, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. There's a three-point outline. Well, let me say this, folks. Let me help you with that. Jesus wasn't justifying their behavior. This wasn't, hey, you know what, attaboy, it's just the way it is. This was a condemnation. Okay, their unbelief caused some people that were sick not to be healed. Their unbelief caused some people that should have been saved not to be saved. Their unbelief caused the message of God to be limited and not do the work that it could have done because of their unbelief. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about this, folks. Listen, sometimes it's easy for us to recognize greatness when it's from afar. But if it's right here amongst us in our presence, we're blinded to it. Preacher, how did this happen? How did they miss who Jesus was? Why didn't they embrace it and accept it? Why wasn't this the place of his greatest influence and his greatest meetings? I'm going to give you four reasons in introduction, and I'm going to teach you some things tonight. Please listen to me. I'm going to advocate for our church a little. I'm going to advocate for our young people a little bit. I need some of you to take a step back and listen. Take everybody off trial here. Hey, don't stop being so hypercritical of each other. The average family in this church, if they walked in some other church and spent a Sunday, people in that church would say, man alive, did you get to meet them? Aren't they a wonderful family? But they walk in their home church, and you know what? There's not the same feeling and the appreciation of, listen, folks, look right up here. We have wonderful families here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. By the way, aren't you glad about this? You know what? Perfection is not an attribute of greatness. Great people are imperfect people. Great men are imperfect men. Did you hear that letter written by Tommy Tillman? I mean, if there's a living legend in the field of missions, it's Tommy Tillman. I mean, honestly. But you know why you feel that way? You didn't know him growing up. Okay. Lee Robertson was a great man. But you didn't know him growing up. By the way, if you had known him growing up, it wouldn't change his greatness at all. It would just change your perspective of his greatness. Now, I want you to give me your hearts, please. How did they miss this? How did they do this? Number one, they missed his greatness because they knew his family. Isn't that crazy? Listen, watch this. I want you to just stop and think about this and don't blurt their name out, please. How many of you have a couple nuts in your family tree? Now, don't pick on mom. She's... Say, preacher, if you jolted our family tree, man, you could make several pecan pies. I mean, all right. Again, you can't say their name, but I'm gonna. All right, who's the biggest nut in your family? I mean, the guy that, you know, I mean, he's just, I mean, or she is like, oh my goodness, they are related to us. Amen. Now, what if people who knew them when they met you judged you by them? Sometimes I'll hear, well, their mother. Well, they're not their mother. Yeah, but their dad. Well, I knew their grandpa, and he was, okay, so. Yeah, but I'll tell you something about that family. You know what? That should never be said at Blessed Hope Baptist. It should never be said at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Don't you think every one of these young people around here ought to be able to be judged by who they are? Okay. And so they knew his family. They just knew. That's what they started listing. Wait a minute. I know his mom. I know his dad. I know his brothers. Now, who's he think he is? I'll tell you who he was. He was the Son of God. And who he was related to didn't change that a bit. There was greatness there, and they failed to recognize it because they knew his family. Number two, they missed his greatness because of petty jealousy and envy. Because of petty jealousy and envy. And how do you know that? You know, they start saying, well, you know, where does he get this words of wisdom? Hey, he's just one of us. Who gave him a right to get up there and say anything? Why is he being used for mighty works? Now watch this, folks. One of the things that you're going to have to understand is we watch generations. This church is not 4 years old. It's not a church plant. It's 41 years old. It's generational now. Okay. We've got Sunday school teachers right now teaching some of your children that at one time was in our nursery. And the problem is, those of us that watched them raised, if we're not careful, watch this, God puts his hand upon them, puts an anointing on them, they get used in certain capacities here at the church, and all of a sudden, well, wait a minute, why is he using them? And we because of envy and jealousy, well, what about me, and what about this, and what about that? And the honest truth is, God's going to put his hand of calling upon some of our young men and our young ladies. And going to take them into full-time Christian service, sometimes away from here, sometimes in our ministry. And if you're not careful, it's like, well, wait a minute. Who's all of a sudden, what? Watch this. What if an assistant pastor that was raised here is younger than you? And he's delegated responsibilities over a part of the ministry here. Well, I knew him when he was in first grade. Now, wait a minute, folks. The fault's not his. The fault's in your perspective. Don't limit what God's trying to do. Hey, folks, I grew up around here. Anybody here, let's talk about King David for a minute. Anybody here know of any story in the Bible when David was in his youth where he did something sinful? You know of any story in the Bible about... I remember him watching his dad's sheep. I remember him killing a lion and a bear. But watch this. You say, oh boy, I'll tell you what, King David was a great man. Yeah, and in his youth, he sinned. So how do you know that? Well, because I think it's Psalms 24, he prays and asks God to forget the sins of his youth. Are you listening to me? See, people that eventually grow up to greatness, they have, many of them had fatal flaws early. Okay? And so what you have to, watch this. They missed his greatness because of short-sighted labeling. Okay, they knew his family because of petty jealousy and envy. Because of short-sighted labeling. What did they say? Is this not the carpenter's son? And then the other one they said, is this not the... You know what they did? They labeled him. Hey, you know, that when for all the time that he lived in Nazareth, when they saw Jesus, they said, who's that? Oh, yeah, that's the carpenter. Oh, that's Joseph's boy. That's the carpenter's son. Now, listen, folks, they didn't label him with something sinful because they had nothing. Jesus was sinless. But they still put a label on him. You know what they were basically saying? Why is he preaching? He's a carpenter. Why at 30 years of age does this carpenter decide he's going to has a right to speak in the synagogue? They put a label on him. Folks, listen, I'm pleading with you on this. Don't label our kids. Okay? Don't label our young people. Well, she's just this. Stop that. You don't know what she is yet. Are you listening to me? You don't know what she is yet. One of the reasons, and I don't know how you ever stop it, but one of the reasons I tell this to our monitors every year in our Christian school. If you've been through staff training, you've heard me say this. The kids in this school is going to mess up from time to time. If they mess up, you know what? They'll get detention or they'll get the punishment that's appropriate to them. You know what they should not have to deal with? Monitors going home and texting and talking and telling about everything that happened at school and who did what and who said what. Are you listening to me? Okay, little Miss Texter that likes to spread all that. Let's go back and visit your teenage years. I mean, what if, come on now, what if 20, 30 years ago when you were a teenager, if they had somebody with a cell phone walking around texting everything you did and letting everybody in the church know about it? All right, now, what I'm saying is this. You know what? We've got greatness here. And some of you can't recognize it. You won't recognize it. You know, it's easier to look and find fault than it is to look and see potential greatness. You know the difference between a leader and just the average person? The average person can identify a problem, but they can't fix a problem. Some of you are experts at telling me everything that's wrong, but you have no clue at how to fix it. Matter of fact, you make it worse by throwing gas on the fire. It's just church here tonight. I know we got guests, but we're just taking care of some business here. Come on. I mean, anybody, listen, you know, come on. Pastor, you just need to know what's going on. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Watch this. First of all, I probably know what's going on. And secondly, coming in and telling me a problem and offering no solution is no help. Now, I mean that. Watch this. The next time you see a fault or see a problem, instead of saying, oh, good, my job is to blow the whistle and report it, why don't you ask God, how can I help fix that? How can I be a blessing? How can I turn that? That's the difference. But they put a label on him. Hey, we've had some young people pull some really good ones around here. And it's probably not done. Hey, I remember a teenager years ago that was in this church by the name of Jerry Ross really pulled some good ones around here. You're all quiet like you're expecting me to tell the stories. I've asked God to forget the sins of my youth too. You know, isn't it interesting? That's what David prayed. Forget the sins of my youth. God's willing to do something people aren't. And what I'm saying is, hey, you know what? Hey, why don't we start over today? Why don't you grace everybody in this church a clean slate? A new start? Every time somebody's name go up, the two or three favorite stories you want to tell that are all negative. By the way, folks, that is no reflection on their character. Please listen to what I'm going to say. That's no reflection on their character. That's a reflection on your character. That of all the things you could tell about a person that was grew up here, you only can think of two negative stories, and you say the same negative stories over and over and over again, and you can't step back and look at the whole picture and realize, hey, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you know what? You got to allow people the grace. See, I bring a missionary. I said it this morning. Man, look at this couple. Look at this couple that came in here this morning. Come on. But I guarantee you, I could call their mom and dad, and they'd have some stories. I could call their home pastor, and they'd say, now come on, preacher. Preacher to preacher. Come on. Don't tell me this. Oh, yeah, well, if I have to. All right. There was one time. You can't believe what he pulled. Now, see, y'all, they walk in here, and you know what? Y'all look at them and say, man, praise God for a young couple like that. And isn't this exciting what God's using them for? That's because you don't know. I take our young people sometimes places, and I have people walk up and say, man, I'm going to tell you what, you got some great young people. And by the way, we've got some great young people. But some of you are never going to let them be great. Are you listening? You're never going to let them be great. There's never a time where they're ever going to do enough to appease some of you because you've got the list of two or three stories and you know two or three things. And you're going to say those stories over and over and over and over again. Watch this. Not because they're bad, but because your heart's bad. You have a problem. They don't. If you have, watch this. Say, preacher, where does that come from? I'm going to tell you where it comes from. It comes from your insecurities. You see, if the only way you can feel good about somebody, about yourself is to tear other people down around you all the time, then that's what you're going to do. But it's not because they are deserving of that. It's because you're so insecure that the only way you can feel good about yourself is to tear everybody else down all the time. Please stop. Do you really feel good about yourself after that? I mean, honestly, in the presence of holy God, do you really feel good about yourself after that exercise? Okay, there's nobody in here that can't say along with David, forgive me the sins of my youth. And by the way, of my young adulthood and my middle age. Come on. We all have fatal flaws. We all have days or moments that we're not proud of. We all have things that we just wish never would have happened and we never would have said or we never would have did. And do you want your entire life defined for the rest of your life by those handful of things? Of course you don't. So why are you doing it to somebody else? Now listen, folks. They missed the opportunity for a miracle. I think, I'm just going to give you this, and I want you to take it home and meditate on it. But I think if we're not careful, this attitude, if it comes into Blessed Hope Baptist Church, can limit the miraculous here in our church. I think God wants to do mighty works. I just think what we've got to do is take a step back and say, you know what? A prophet and God's people are going to have honor even in their own church, in their own country. You know what? We're going to thank God for what they are, not constantly be talking about what they're not. We're going to thank God and brag about their strengths instead of putting a flashlight, a spotlight constantly on their weaknesses. We're going to encourage, get in the ministry of encouragement instead of the ministry of discouragement. And so they missed his greatness. They missed greatness because they knew his family. They missed greatness because of petty jealousy and envy. They missed greatness because of short-sighted labeling. All right, I know he worked as a carpenter, folks, but he wasn't a carpenter. That's not what his primary mission was. When he defined it for us, he said, the Son of Man has come to build cabinets and wooden carts. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Being a carpenter was a temporary thing until it was time for him to do what he'd come to do. He came to die on Calvary, come to seek and save that which was lost. And yet people wanted to label him for what he was in his early years instead of recognizing who he was and why he was sent. And so be careful of labeling people. I think some of the young people that have a little bit of a bad reputation, and come on, young people, I'm not letting you totally off the hook. Some of you have earned it a little. But the honest truth is, you know what? If you're willing to change, what I found about good people is 90% of them are willing to rejoice in that. Oh, I mean it. I can't stop all the stupid. I'm just telling you. I'm just being honest with you. I can't stop all the stupid. There's always going to be one or two people until God takes them home that I just can't ever to get off the negativity. You know. But I'm telling you this. I promise you this. I know my church. 99% of the people around here, no matter what you've done, if you brush yourself off and you're sincere and you take off in a good direction, they're going to be cheering you on. They're going to be cheering you on. That is blessed hope. We've proved it in the past. That's blessed hope. They miss greatness because of their blind unbelief. Their blind unbelief. You see, watch this. You have to develop the kind of vision that God has. See, God does not see me for what I am. God sees me for what I'm becoming. And if you look at what I am, it's pretty easy to not want to believe what I could be. And sometimes you look at young people and you see what they are, but folks, listen to me. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, there's 18 months where Jerry Ross was not in good spiritual condition as a teenager around here. And if somebody in this church would have looked at me during that time and wrote me off, you know what? They could have very easily done that. I didn't quit church. I never got a vote on that. But I came in. I didn't have a good attitude. I wasn't right with God. I was sneaking around like some of you have done in the past and doing some things I'm not proud of. And, you know, I wasn't in good shape. It would have been very easy, but let me tell you something. Don Mowry walked up to me one time and said, Jerry, I know you're struggling, but whether you know it or not, God's got something great for you. Jack Gordon walked up to me one time and said, Jerry, I know you're having a tough time. I know that. I want you to know I'm praying for you. God's not done with you yet. Hey, church, why don't you gift that to these young people? Well, preacher, they're this, they're all right, so what? Tell me about your glory days. Tell me about your perfect track record. Tell me about your sinless perfection. Come on now. What I'm saying is this, man alive, believe. What hindered the miracle? A lack of belief. You say, preacher, I don't understand. You believe in kids that aren't deserving of being believed in, and God believed in me when I wasn't deserving. And there's some people that believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. Are you listening to me? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in the young people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. I mean the rottenest one in the bunch. I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them. And you know what? Maybe the reason they're having such a tough time is this. Watch this. You don't think the devil's going to go hardest after the ones that have the greatest potential? The reason some of you are struggling is because, you know, you don't know it yet, but the reason some of you are struggling is because, man, the devil's putting in everything he's got, making a bid for you because he knows you have nuclear potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So your preacher believes in you. Your mom and dad believes in you. There's a lot of good people that still believe in you. And this isn't just a message for teenagers. Come on, you can get on up into years a little bit. As a young adult, you can do some stupid things. I mean, stupidity does not stop at 19. I'm just saying. And you know what? I've watched full grown up adults do some of the, I mean, things that if we're not careful, we'd be tempted to label them the rest of their life with. And that's not fair. Some of the people that I am absolutely the proudest of here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that serve in the Lord have some, brother, they don't have skeletons in their closets. They have cemeteries in their closets. Come on. But you know what? Watch this. They're trophies of grace. God delights in finding somebody that everybody else has given up on and saying, okay, if you work out, I'm definitely getting the glory. So I think I'll just see to it that you work out. I'm just going to pick you up and brush you off, forgive you, get you head in the right direction. You know, can I say this? I'm glad we've got people that work in this ministry that don't have perfect records. Because, see, when a kid comes stumbling in the door and they like I talked to Jonathan, I told you last week, Jonathan, the young man I met in Sacramento and who told AJ, I may be 17, but I've got so much sin in my life, there's no way I could go to heaven. You know, they may not believe it coming from a kid that's born and raised in church. But there's some people in this church that I can say, you go talk to Miss So-and-so. Oh, Mrs. So-and-so, you'll talk to brother. Oh, they've been Christians their whole life. Like, oh, that's what you think. You know, folks, if you knew the background of some of the people that's sitting in your pew, you'd get up and move. I'm just a little nervous preaching to them, to be honest with you. Come on now. And some of the people that when new people come in and they look around and they think, man, these people were born Christians. And they don't realize that there was some chapters in their life where they were so far away from God. Come on. And what I'm saying is this. Don't miss the greatness right in front of you. Let me give you some words of encouragement in closing. Don't miss greatness within your home church. You're here all the time, so it becomes familiar. I didn't say it was a perfect church. Perfection is not a necessary ingredient for greatness. We don't have a perfect church. Never claim to have a perfect church, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been in a lot of churches. I'm always glad to get home. You know, we got a great music program here. You know, God's blessed us with so many good singers here. You know, stop criticizing and start enjoying what we've got here. Stop always wanting to come up and tell how something ought to be better, and why don't you just relax and enjoy how great it is? It's not that we're satisfied. It's not that we're not trying to make things better, but every once in a while, good night, no matter how good we make it, listen, after a while, the problem's not the music, the problem's your heart. We just can't ever get it good enough that you can't find an imperfection. Get off that train, get off that wagon, sit back and enjoy it. I enjoyed Brother Nathan singing tonight. You just amen yourself? It sounded like you didn't know where I was going on that, did you, brother? I mean, yes, he's proud. Yes, he's arrogant. I mean, I love watching him come up and sing. I could tell you almost every knucklehead thing he ever did growing up. And what I don't know, Tommy could write books about. But I'm just telling you. Come on, we're blessed. We're blessed here. I shouldn't just mention one because I got to mention everybody. But I mean it. There's not a person that don't walk up here and sing. I love it. You know nobody sings a solo here. You know that, don't you? Nobody sings a solo because I'm always back there and I'm singing part of the song with them. They won't put me on the song list. They won't let me in a choir. Hey, by the way, all those of you that have so much negativity in your heart towards my musical ability, let me just say this. I'm organizing the people that's going on this trip into a choir. And we're singing everywhere we go. And you know what we're going to do to punish you? We're coming back here and singing at the end of our trip. And Brother Bud, I'm going to direct them. Yes, I am. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be something you've never seen before. See, I've got a philosophy about music, you know. Say, preacher, you know what? The parts, or somebody ran off some letters the other day and I didn't know what they were talking about. And they were talking about, there's like a abbreviated letter, solo. And so they got to like the first letter of each one and they said it. And I said, what is that? And they told me. And I said, well, what are those? And they told me that people sing different. And I'm like, oh, why? That's why some of the times when they're singing, they don't all sound the same. And they told me that that was true. And guess what? That it was planned. I mean, I sing and I don't sound the same sometimes, but I never plan it. That's cool. I'm learning. See, my philosophy of music is easy. Okay, you may be bad, but sing loud. No matter how rotten you are, sing as loud as you can. Because that will encourage the other people that are good singers around you to sing louder, to drown you out. And that way we got to sing in church. Amen. That's all you need to know about music. I got to give it to you. I mean, I love it. I love the ministries here. I do. I love our school. I want everybody here to love our school. It's time to stop using the school as target practice. It really is. Okay. It's time for some of you that are experts on everything that's wrong with the school to take a step back and figure out everything that's right with the school. Okay, it's time to let your church off the hook. I mean, most people, I'm telling you, most people that are Christians or full-time workers that come into Blessed Hope Baptist Church before they leave here will look at me with tears in their eyes and say, you don't know what you've got here. And you know what? The sad part is they may be right. We don't know what we've got here. So instead this week of deciding you're going to go down through the same old list you always go through of all the things you think's wrong with Blessed Hope, why don't you take a step back and say, greatness could be in front of me and I just don't realize it. I'm just too familiar with it. If I'd never been to this church and walked in, I could be blessed. Because I wouldn't come in with a bunch of preconceived notions and ideas and already put everybody in a slot and in a box and labeled everybody, and therefore no matter who does what, I can't enjoy it because I know this. Folks, listen to me. That's not their fault. That's not their bad. That's something that's broken in you. What Jesus could not do in Nazareth was not his fault. Anybody want to stand up and declare his guilt in this matter? He wanted to do great things. He couldn't get past their preconceived notions and their labeling. He couldn't get past their negativity. Hey, I think this is a good church. We've got a chance to be a great church, but we've got to start looking at things differently. We got to start being glad. Listen, we got to start looking for the good. We've got to start rejoicing in the good things. We've got to start encouraging the good things. All right, you're an expert on everything that's negative. You're an expert. You've reached that status. Now, why don't you get to an altar and repent of it? And say, I'm not gonna have that. You know who the accuser of the brethren is? Who's the accuser of the brethren? No, some of you. Oh, did you say Satan? Yeah, he is too. That's good company. I'm glad it's this quiet. We need that to settle in here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. Okay? Next time, watch this. I'm gonna give you an assignment. We're gonna quit. We're gonna shut it down here. But watch this. You've got to weed this out of your family. Dad, it's got to start with you. This whole idea of letting your kids come home and gripe and complain about everything every day has got to stop. By the way, there's a reason that they do it. You think the reason is because there's so much wrong with what's going on here. The reason that they do it is because you let them do it. I've said this a lot of times. Every time our doctors, by the way, I know sometimes things happen that need to be fixed. I get that. It's not a perfect place. But anytime our daughters came home with something that happened at school or church or something, they'd want to come in and say, Dad, I'd say, whoa, stop. I'm going to give you a formula here, and some of you will never do it, but if you would, your kids, it'd fix their hearts. I said, Dad, something happened, and Mrs. So-and-so, okay, stop, wait a minute. We'll get to that. Let's set that over here. I don't know what it is yet. We'll set it over here. I want you to tell me about some good things that happened in school today. Matter of fact, let's just talk about this whole year. Let's talk about what some good. Give me 4, 5, 6 things of good things that's happened here. Yeah, but Dad, I know. We'll talk about that. I'm not ignoring it yet. I'm just setting it over here. We'll talk about it. Well, Mrs. Soto, let's talk about that before we talk about her. Let's talk about 5 or 6 things that she's done for you, how she's helped you. Well, Brother Soto, okay, all right, we'll talk about that. But let's go through all of the things that him and his wife have done to be a blessing to you. And have them go through about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of those things and say, okay, now, if there's honestly a problem, let's talk about it. And you know what, most of the time, by the time they went through the 8 or 10 or 12 things that was so good, they're like, Dad, it's really not that big a deal. You know why? Because it's really not that big a deal. Tell you, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to teach them a perspective of life. I'm not saying that we ignore everything. I'm not saying that sometimes we don't need to stop and fix something. I'm just saying this, folks. If this community believed some of you, they would believe there's no good in this church, and that is wicked. That is wrong. I've watched God or the devil get in the hearts of some people that sit in this church, and next thing you know, no matter what we do or what this preacher preaches or what I say or how, you know what? They are fixated on negativity, and everything's bad and everything's wrong, and that is not fair. It's not fair. God has used this church in a remarkable way in this community to see thousands and thousands of thousands of people genuinely say, God is still using this church. God has used this church to bring up young people that are serving both in this local assembly and in local assemblies scattered across America, and some of them in full-time Christian service. You know what? For every one negative thing you want to give me, I could give you 40 positive things about this church. You know why? Because I'm not going to limit what God can do here through my unbelief. So don't miss the greatness within your home church. Parents, don't miss the greatness within your own family. If you don't believe in your kids, who's gonna? Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. You correct them when they need corrected, and you have a talk with them. But let me tell you something. Mamas, you've got to believe in those children. Daddies, you've got to believe in them. And they need to know that you believe. Don't miss the greatness all around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you take these simple thoughts tonight and help us, Lord, not to commit the sin of Nazareth, the sin of Nazareth. Here is a situation where there was such potential for great things, miraculous things, and yet because of their unbelief. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint every single one of us. And please start with this preacher, dear God. I don't want to be a hypocrite in preaching this. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Anoint my heart with a baptism of grace. Lord, help me to look at people and see the good, and help me to believe in people that maybe don't even believe in themselves, and help me to encourage the discouraged. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help me to accent the positive and see the miracles and see the good. And Lord, don't let the poison of negativity and the poison of accusing brethren and the poison of a critical spirit come to the heart of this preacher, Lord. Thank you for this place. Thank you for where I get to pastor. Thank you for the great people that are here and the great families and the great potential. And Lord, help us to always understand that, Lord, every great thing and every good thing that happens here, it's because of you. And so, Lord, please, we want to offer ourselves as a church, as a congregation, for your use, not because we're perfect, not even because we're worthy, but because we believe in you and we believe in each other. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, that there'd be a spirit of softness and grace and forgiveness and patience and long-suffering amongst our church family. May we be slow to criticize and quick to encourage and slow to listen to the negative and quick to speak up about the positive. And may we not limit the miraculous. Lord, I pray for our young people. And there are young people that are struggling and they're not perfect. And I know what that's like and I've been there. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that they'd understand the greatness and the potential for greatness that lies in each and every one of them. And dear God, may they know that they've got a God that's rooting for them and a preacher that loves them and he's rooting for them and people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is rooting for them. May they feel that. May they get that. I pray that you'll use this message. Help us, Lord, to be a better church for you in Jesus' name.